Let's pray this morning before we get into the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning that Your Spirit would go before us. Lord, that You would reveal to us anything and everything in our life that needs to be dealt with this morning as part of this sermon. Lord, I pray that at the end of this service, Lord, that there would be a response that is worthy of Your name. Lord, that there would be repentance in the house. There would be unity in the house, Lord, that there would be freedom that is being experienced, Lord, because we're dealing with things that have been hidden for too long. Father, I pray that, Lord, that this would be a moment that defines this church, this body, Lord, that it forever changes every aspect of our lives. Father, we love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Is anybody worried after that prayer? Today, we're on our next sermon in the series in the book of Joshua, and it is Hidden Sin, Hidden Death. And this comes from Joshua chapter 7 with Achan. And I want to start this morning by just asking, have you ever walked into something thinking it was going to be easy, but then it completely fell apart? Show of hands. You thought it was going to be easy, and then it completely came tumbling down, and there is nothing you can do. You prayed, you showed up, you expected it to go smoothly, but instead, it blew up in your face. It's happened. And that's exactly what we're going to see here today in Joshua, with Joshua and the Israelites in Joshua 7. And just 2 weeks ago, one chapter earlier, we saw the walls of Jericho come down, just from their obedience, from walking around the city. There's no battering rams, no weapons. They marched, they obeyed, and they shouted. And what did God do? He did the rest. He did what we can't do. And it was one of the biggest victories that they ever saw. So now they set their sights on the next city, Ai. It's smaller than Jericho. It shouldn't be a problem. They even decide not to send the whole army. And listen, I'm giving you cliff notes. So if you want to go read it, it's Joshua chapter 7. So go read it so you can get all the cracks filled in here. They sent in a few thousand men thinking that should take care of it. This is going to be easy for us. But instead, we see that they get wrecked. 36 men die. The army runs back in fear. Their confidence is completely gone. Joshua falls on his face before God and he says, Lord, why did this happen? You ever ask the Lord, why did something happen? Anybody? Maybe you're there right now. Maybe you've been there before. You're trying to follow God. You're doing what you think is right. But time after time, you keep running into walls. And you don't understand why. Here's the truth. Sometimes the problem isn't what's ahead of us. It's what's hidden inside the camp. It's what's hidden beneath us. Sometimes it's beneath the surface. It's something that we have buried that we haven't dealt with. And guess what? It's cutting off the blessing of God in your life. That's a heavy word, isn't it? Let me give you a picture of what that is. It's like when you're trying to turn something on in the house, when you go into a room and you flip the light switch and it doesn't turn on. What do you do next? You make sure the bulbs aren't broke, or you check an appliance, you check something else in the plug-in, you move it and you try another plug-in. You try to find what is happening. But you've checked all of this, and everything is still dead. It's not responding. It's not turning on. And the problem's not out in the open, is it? It's not a fix at the outlet box, is it? Where do we have to go to find the problem generally? The circuit breaker. It might be in the basement. It might be in the garage. Wherever it is, the problem is one breaker got overloaded, therefore it flipped off. And there won't be power restored until that breaker is turned back on. See, it's barely a noticeable thing, but let's look at what it does. It cuts power to the entire room. You follow where I'm going today? That's what hidden sin in our life is like. If you have hidden sin, that's likely what you're experiencing right now in your life. You're doing everything right on the outside, but something buried is blocking God's power in your life. And listen, until it's dealt with, guess what? It's going to stay that way. Because what does sin do? Sin separates us from the presence of God. And that's where we find Israel here in Joshua chapter 7, if you want to get your Bibles ready for that. They had just watched God do a miracle in Jericho. He brought the walls down with a shout, and it was God's power, not their strength. They just simply were obedient and walked around that town or village or city, whatever it is, until God brought the victory. But before God brought the victory, if you go back and read this, you'll see that God gave them one clear command. He said, don't take any of the treasure for yourself. It belongs to me. It's holy. So before the walls fall down, God has already said, everything here is mine. It's not to be taken by you. It belongs to me. But one man, Achan. Achan disobeyed. See, Achan, he saw some gold, he saw some silver, and he found a fancy robe, and what did Achan do? He took it. Isn't that what temptation of sin looks like in our life? Shiny, valuable, we want it, we take it. Nobody knew about it. As far as Achan was concerned, nobody knew. It was hidden, it was just him. But guess what? God knew. God knew what was happening. And that's where we pick up in the story today. God answers Joshua, and he doesn't hold back. Joshua chapter 7, verse 10 is where we start. The Lord said to Joshua, this is right after Joshua hits the ground and starts praying and asks the Lord, what is going on? The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. It doesn't say Achan sinned. It says Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. Remember, the Lord said they're mine, they're holy. They have stolen and they have lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more. How did we start the first chapter of Joshua? Be strong and courageous for what? I am with you. He promised that multiple times in the first chapter of Joshua. Now in chapter 7, the Lord is saying, I will be with you no more unless there's a way out. Unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up. Get up, Joshua. Get up. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourself for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. Go read the rest of the story to find out how it ends. So what we have here is Joshua hitting the ground, crying out to God, asking, why were we defeated? Why was I just defeated? Why did we lose? Why did 36 soldiers die? And God tells him plainly, there's sin. There's sin among you. There's sin in your camp. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a mistake that just happened. It was a misstep. Somebody made a decision and they misstepped. There was something hidden. There was something disobedient, and it was buried right in the middle of where God's people were supposed to be walking in victory. Hidden. Nobody else knew about it, but one person did, Achan and the Lord. And notice what God says. He doesn't say Achan sinned. He said Israel has sinned. That shows us something that I don't think that we can ignore today. Even hidden sin doesn't stay private. It eventually will out you. Hidden sin never stays private. It may stay private for a time, but it's going to spread. It's going to affect others. And it's going to invite defeat where there's supposed to be blessing. So I'm going to ask this morning, what's your hidden sin? Now, I'm not supposing that everybody in here has hidden sin, but maybe you do. What's your hidden sin? What is it? See, that's where we find ourselves beginning today. Our first point today is what's hidden will hurt you. What's hidden will hurt you. Remember, God didn't say Achan has sinned. No, he said Israel has sinned. And that I want to show you is how connected the people were. Can I suggest to you this morning that that's how engaged church is? Are we not unified? Are we not extended family? Are we not all one under the blood of Christ? See, one man's hidden sin brought defeat on the entire community. One man's sin brought defeat to the entire community. And that same truth applies to today. See, what's buried beneath the surface, because Achan went in and put it underneath his bed and laid his bed over the top and nobody's going to know because it's hidden. What's buried beneath the surface, guess what? It eventually affects everything above the surface. All of a sudden, you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I don't want to hear this today. I don't want to deal with this today. Listen, you might be thinking it's just my struggle. It's something that I'm walking through. It's not hurting anybody. Let me submit to you, you are wrong. It is hurting the entire body of Christ. What power of God could be flowing through you that could change somebody else's life in this church or this community? If we had cheaper mics, that was a good spot to drop the mic. Here's what it's doing. It's hurting your confidence. It's hurting your relationships. It's draining your peace. And it's short-circuiting the power of God in your life. Why would we not want to address that sin? God wasn't trying to embarrass Israel. He was trying to wake them up. He was trying to get their attention. He's saying, hey, there's a problem here and we need to deal with it. He wanted to wake them up and deal with what was blocking the blessing. Maybe it's been a long time since you've heard the voice of the Lord in your prayers. You feel like everything you do, you're hitting a wall. May I submit to you that it's time to start doing a heart check and see if there's something that we need to deal with, somebody we need to make amends with, situation that needs to be dealt with. See, that's how God still works today. He doesn't want to embarrass us, but he wants to wake us up. He's over here waving his arm saying, come on, I want to deal with this with you. He doesn't want to do it to crush you. The Lord's desire is not to crush you and defeat you. It's not to push you away. Instead, it is to clean out what's keeping you from what he has promised you. His desire is that no one should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. And if that's the heart of the Lord, why would the Lord want to keep you at arm's length? He doesn't. He wants you right next to him. He wants you in relationship with him. He's not here to crush you. He's not here to push you away. But what you have in your life is keeping you from what he has promised you. Psalms chapter 90, verse 8 says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. The Lord already knows. It's not hidden from anybody. The Lord knows. He's just waiting for you to deal with it. So the question is how are you going to deal with it? What you bury in secret will always break something in your life. What you bury in secret will always break something in your life. Here's the good news. You don't have to stay stuck. You do not have to stay where you are. What's hidden doesn't have to stay hidden. In fact, God invites us to bring it to the light, deal with it, and start walking in freedom. Is there something buried under your tent? Is there something buried under the tent of your heart that you're ignoring, hoping at some point I just stop thinking about it and it's not burdensome anymore, it's not going to cause issues, I've just come to terms with it that I'm a really bad person, but I'm really trying my best. Listen, that's all lies from Satan. Sin separates us from the presence of the Lord. So what is today about? Today is the day that we deal with it. Today is the day that we deal with that hidden sin. So once again, here's Joshua, face down before the Lord. He's confused. He's grieving. He's doing what most of us would do, asking why things went wrong. Lord, why did this happen? Why did it go like this? But God's response is definitively strong, and he says, get up. This isn't a time to sit in defeat. It's a time to face what's been hidden. It's a time to deal with what's gotten in the way. And here's what we need to see. God didn't let them lose to punish them. He let them lose to get their attention. Who knows that the whole army of Israel could have been slaughtered instead of 36. Because sometimes when we start to drift, the most loving thing that God can do is to stop us in our tracks. Brings us to our second truth today. God will let you lose to call you back. God will let you lose to call you back. No doubt Joshua was devastated. 36 soldiers just died. Israel's confidence out the window. They came running back away from a small village that should have been no problem. Confidence was completely gone. And Joshua fell on his face and he cried out to God. And God said something powerful. It wasn't, well, let's deal with this. I want to comfort you. No, the Lord says, get up. Stand up to your feet. What are you doing right now? In other words, he's saying it's not a time to wallow. It's a time to deal with the issue at hand. And then the Lord begins to show him what the issue is. And sometimes when we experience loss or frustration or spiritual defeat, it's not because God is absent. No, it's because he's lovingly calling you back to himself. If his heart, let's go back to that. What is his heart? His heart is that none should perish, but all would come to what? Everlasting life. And if that is the heart of the Father, why is he going to do anything that is going to push you away from him instead of drawing you closer to him? He is calling you back to him this morning. He let Israel lose, not because he'd left them, not because he didn't love them, but because they had left obedience. Let's look back to Jericho. The Lord told them to walk around the city, didn't he? And then on the seventh day, on the seventh round, the trumpets blast and the people shout, and the city fell. They were obedient, weren't they? He says, don't take anything from the city. When I drop the walls and you go in, don't take anything from the city. One moment, they're obedient. The very next moment, temptation comes in and we've just left obedience because we've just dabbled. We've just taken what the Lord just told us to stay away from. Are you following? Who knows in life? That's exactly how it is. One minute, I'm obedient to the Lord because I know this is what he's called me to. The next minute, you're in the middle of sin. You're like, what in the world just happened? How did I get here? Poor choices, right? We all make choices. But they left obedience. And instead of giving up on them, the Lord literally, the most patient Lord, if you've ever read through Genesis and Exodus and all, Israel was a mess. How many times the Lord said, I'm departing from you, or I'm going to destroy you, or I'm going to destroy everybody because I regret making them. But the Lord is patient. Instead of leaving them, he wanted to bring them back into obedience. He wanted to bring them back into a situation where they were listening, hearing his voice, and obedient to him. And instead of giving up on them, God gave them a chance to come clean. Who knows that you have a chance to come clean this morning? You have a chance to come clean this morning. He still does that today. Sometimes the resistance you're facing is not the enemy. It's easy just to blame everything on Satan and say it's the enemy. I've got to defeat this. I got to fight it on my own. But in reality, it might be the mercy of God trying to get your attention before it's too late. Hebrews 12:6 tells us, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. Who knows that discipline is good? Every parent in here who has kids ought to be raising their hand saying, discipline is good. Sometimes God allows defeat to lead you to repentance. Sometimes God allows defeat to lead you to repentance. And that's a tough thing to listen to, isn't it? See, God doesn't give up on us in our failure. Instead, he meets us right where we are. He calls you up. He calls you back. And he walks with you back in to the freedom that he has for you. Don't stay on the ground face down saying, don't sit in that defeat saying, is there something? Instead, ask the Lord, is there something in my life that you're asking me to deal with? Maybe this hard thing I'm walking isn't an attack from the enemy, but maybe instead it's the Spirit of God saying to me, you need to deal with this. This right here, this is what's blocking the power. This is what's blocking the blessing that I have for you because you haven't dealt with this issue. And listen, when you ask him the question, is there something in me you're asking me to deal with? You know that he already knows the answer. He already knows. He knows what it is. But do you know what else? He's ready to restore. He's ready to restore in an instant. So we've seen that sometimes God allows us to feel the weight of defeat, not to abandon us, not to leave us without hope, but in the hopes that it'll bring us back to him. Here's the good news. God doesn't just confront sin. A lot of times people think it's just a confrontation of sin and that's it. He doesn't just confront sin and then we've got to work it off and we got to figure out how to make it right. No, he makes a way to restore those who are broken. He has made a way for all of us to come back to restore us because we've been broken. He's not just trying to get our attention. He's inviting us to be made whole. See, when we deal with that sin, when we deal with that issue in our life, he is inviting to make us whole in his presence. He didn't leave Israel stuck in failure. He could have not responded to Joshua. He could have just let them figure it out, lose a lot more soldiers, face defeat left and right. He doesn't leave us stuck in our failure. If you continue reading the story, you're going to see that once they dealt with what was buried, God's presence returned. And the very next chapter, they go back to Ai, and this time they walk in total victory. That right there is how the Lord wants to restore you to himself today. And that's what grace does. That is what grace does. It meets us right at the place of surrender. It picks us up, it cleans us off, and it sets us back on solid ground full of hope. And this brings us to the last truth today. God's grace meets us at the place of surrender. God's grace meets us at the place of surrender. When Achan's sin was finally exposed, it wasn't to humiliate, but instead it was to restore the whole nation. Remember, it was one person who decided to sin, but the whole nation was experienced the separation from the Lord. And so it wasn't to humiliate, but it was to restore the whole nation. The moment Israel dealt with the buried sin, the curse was broken. God's presence returned to Israel. And we see again in the next chapter how they win the victory over Ai. Who knows that the Lord doesn't look for perfection? I'm not perfect. My grandpa used to sing the song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." The Lord wasn't looking for perfection. Instead, he was looking for repentance. He was looking for a heart of surrender. And when that surrender came, when that repentance came, guess what? Grace met them right where they were at. Do we have to work for grace? We surrender. We surrender and we repent. And that's the same God that we serve today. That's the same God that we serve today. God never exposes something to shame you. He brings it to light so he can bring you back to life. He brings it to light to bring you back to life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do we have to do? Confess our sins. Period. That's it. Confess it. God doesn't expose to shame you. He exposes to heal you. God doesn't expose to shame you. He exposes to heal you. And I need everybody to listen to this today. There is no sin in your life that is too buried. There is no sin that is too ugly. There is no sin that makes you too far gone that God can't forgive and restore. See, there's tension in the room right now. Because we judge ourselves in an unfair way, don't we? We look at all the things that we've done and we say, that's too ugly to deal with. This is a clean church. No, come on. The Holy Spirit has seen way worse than you have done. There is no sin buried too deep in the ground that you can't dig it back up and deal with it. There's no sin. I remember as a kid, before I fully gave my life to the Lord, I would find myself saying things. Especially when I was a young adult, I would say things like, well, I need to get this dealt with before I start going to church. Do you know that that is the absolute opposite of what the Lord wants you to do? Go to church, deal with the sin, be restored, and walk in freedom. We have it all wrong when we try to put our hands to it, but instead, if we simply surrender it, God will meet you in it. He will deal with it in totality. If that doesn't give you hope, what are we doing? He forgives our sins as far as from the east is from the west. Who can measure that? The creator of the universe can. We can't. There is nothing so grotesque in your life that the Lord can't deal with it in finality right now today. Let them have it. Let them have it. Let them have what you had buried. Let them have what you had hidden. He's not coming to condemn you. And neither is this church. If I see anybody condemning somebody for their sin, we're going to have a meeting in my office tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. If the Spirit of the Lord isn't here to condemn, who are we? Who are we? He's not coming to condemn. He's coming to heal. He's coming to make whole. He's coming to bring hope. He's coming to bring freedom. He's coming to bring life back to the darkness that you've called your life. There is a freedom of walking with Him that when you experience it, there's nothing, nothing that can draw you away from Him. So what do we do with this? What's our response today? Everybody's sitting on pins and needles because they're afraid where pastor's going to go with this today. First and foremost, the call is going to be deal with your sin. Deal with it. Don't leave here defeated or discouraged. Leave here today decided. See, God showed us what was buried. He's revealed it to you in this sermon. When you talk about sin and talk about hidden, everybody starts replaying their life to see, right? It just happens. God, if He has revealed something to you today, it is not for you to push further down. It's not to beat us down. It's not to cancel hope in our life, but it's to raise us up because we're going to deal with it. He wants to deal with it today. So what do? We bring it to the light. We confess it. We confess what's been hidden. And then you just receive God's mercy. Because all we have to do is confess. That's it. And then we freely receive. And then we walk forward clean. We don't confess of this buried sin and then go back and find a new sin and put back in the hole and bury it again. Counterintuitive, don't do that. You can leave here today free and full of his presence if you are so audacious enough to deal with that sin. Because when we are clean before God, we can live out his mission. If we are clean before the Lord, we're ready to live out our mission, engaging our community for Jesus. Not in defeat, not in hiding, but in boldness, freedom, and grace. So let today be the day that you stop covering what Jesus already died to forgive. You don't get to say, this sin is excluded from that because I'm a really bad person. The Lord already knows that. We're miserable people, let's be honest. We are very wicked and perverse if we are left to our own imaginations, are we not? Stop covering what Jesus already died to forgive. Surrender fully. So today, as you walk out of those doors, there's a weight lifted off of your shoulders that you haven't experienced in years because you've had that sin hidden for so long. There is freedom in this house. I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants to grant freedom today. This is our moment. This is your moment to shine. Let us be a church that walks in the open. Let us be a church that lives in the light. Let us be a church that carries his presence into every corner of this community. But before we can do that, we have to deal with sin. Don't let one sin impact the rest of the body. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to see you here next Sunday. That is not what I'm saying. If that's what you heard it completely wrong. We want you to be free of that sin. There's freedom like no other when we stand in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I surrender it all. I confess that I'm a terrible, nasty, dirty person. I don't deserve your mercy and grace. But yet Jesus died on the cross to grant me that very thing. Stacy, if you want to make your way up here. Before we get to that big response, I just want everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads this morning. Maybe as you've listened today, maybe as you've been hearing me speak and you've listened to the scripture and you've heard how God has done all of this to bring you to repentance, to bring you to freedom in your life with him. Maybe you've realized that you've been carrying something hidden. Maybe you've been running. Maybe you've been pretending, or you're just trying to manage the weight of it on your own. Knock it off. Don't try to deal with this on your own. The truth is you don't have to carry it anymore. See, Jesus already carried it for you. He carried it straight to the cross. He crucified himself to deal with your sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, remember, it's just confession. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confession of sin, confession that Jesus is Lord, and belief in our heart that God raised him from the dead. This is not about religion. This is not about perfection. If you think you are perfect, I am sadly going to tell you you are not. Because none of us is. It's about trusting the one who already gave everything to rescue you. So this morning, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you're ready to come clean in that way of coming into the presence of the Lord, to say yes to Jesus today, today is your day. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that is you, would you be audacious enough to raise your hand in response? Amen. Come on, amen. Who else? Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me, repeat this prayer, and understand these words are meaningless if it is not a position of your heart to surrender before the Lord. These words are meaningless. So this is not about the words, it's about your heart. But if you would, as a way to help us walk through this, repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for making a way for me to be reconciled back to you. I admit that I am a sinner. I have made mistakes. Please forgive me. From this moment on, in complete surrender, I commit myself to you. I dedicate my life to you from this moment forward. Help me to walk strong and to not mess with hidden sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. There were two people that raised their hands to give their lives to the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Your responsibility for the two that raised your hands, you are to tell somebody before you leave here today. Make it real. Tell somebody that you gave your heart to the Lord today. I don't care if other people around you have thought, well, they were a Christian. Nope. Tell them, I gave my life to the Lord today. I made a decision for Him today. Praise the Lord. And if you don't have a Bible, let me know. We've got Bibles in the closet back there for you. We've bought Bibles to give every new believer who needs the Word of God in their hand. And listen, for the rest of us today, just because you didn't raise your hand for salvation doesn't mean we're done dealing with sin. If there's anything that the Lord has revealed to you during this sermon that has been buried in your life, if there's anything that He has said, this is holding your back, guess what? This is your moment right now to surrender it to the Lord. In these next moments, as the worship team plays, the altar is open. Come and lay it down. I don't care if you're the first one up here. Will you be audacious enough to say, Lord, I want to deal with this sin once and for all? There is no judgment. Nobody's judging you. Nobody's looking down on you. Because guess what? None of us are perfect. This morning, take the time to come and meet with God and let Him lead you into grace and freedom. This is our moment to be right before the Lord. Let's take these moments and let's respond, not just individually, but also as a church. Amen? Amen.